Been looking at a series we're calling Creatures of Habit, and this morning we've talked about how to break bad habits and how to make good habits, and tonight, this morning I want to talk about right thinking, habitual right thinking, and I want to read a verse to you from Proverbs 23 and verse 7. In fact, we're going to read three different translations of this verse to you, and then we'll pray, all right? For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. For as he thinks within himself, so he is. Let's pray. Lord, as we go to your word, as always, we want to treat it exactly as the word of God, as you speaking to us. And God, today, I know your promises, your word will never return void. So help us, Lord, in hearing and then doing, that we will be different people by being exposed to your word than we were when we came in, just by hearing from you. And Lord, move us, guide us, help us to be obedient, to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us to take to heart as we think today about our thoughts and how they provide for us what we are, what we allow ourselves to dwell upon. What a tremendous challenge we have, how you communicate to us through our thoughts. May our thoughts be towards you today during this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've talked about a truism of life, that we have certain patterns that develop, and they become habitual because we repeat them over and over again. We've jokingly said we tend to come to church and we sit in the same spot, we park in the same spot. Even the pastor comes down this side of the pulpit a lot more than he does the other side. We have certain habits. You know, and that I'm right-handed. I ought to come down this one a lot more. I don't know why I do that, but I do. Whoever pointed that out was very correct. Now, before you came to church today, you followed some certain patterns when you got dressed. What habit did you have, for instance, in putting your clothes on? There was a television show. It was really when TV started going bad, in my opinion, because they looked at some taboo subjects that had never been explored. I'm kind of an old softy. I kind of like the old television shows back in the Andy Griffith and the Gunsmoke and some of those old shows. But I want to play you a clip this morning from a show. This is actually a clip from 1974. Wow, that's a long time ago. From a television show called All in the Family. And what this is, as you will see, has to do with our habits. And as you watch this little 2-minute clip, I'm going to ask you a question about your habit, all right?
Do you know that we don't catch that fishing boat? There ain't going to be no deep sea fishing. We'll have to stay on the dock with the old people here. Hold it. What are you doing here? What? What about the other foot? There ain't no sock on it. I'll get to it. Don't you know that the whole world puts on a sock and a sock and a shoe and a shoe? I like to take care of one foot at a time. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life.
It's just as quick my way.
Wait a minute, that ain't the prank. You see what I told? Don't keep doing it. Listen to me. Suppose there's a fire in the house and you gotta run for your life. Your way, all you got on is one shoe and a sock. My way, you got on a sock and a sock. You see, you're evil.
Suppose it's raining or snowing outside. Your way, with a sock on each foot, my feet would get wet. My way, with a sock and a shoe on one foot, I could hop around and stay dry.
I think you've been hopping around on your head. Wait a minute. Listen to me. Supposing you had a sock's got a hole in it.
Doesn't have a hole in it.
I said supposing
right,
it's got
suppose
a hole.
It has a hole.
All right, it's got a hole in it. So, you ain't got another matching pair, so what are you going to do? Your way, you got to take off a whole shoe and a sock. My way, all you got to do is take off one sock.
All right, if it'll make you happy, I'll start all over again.
No, you're halfway through. Now, gee, get on with it. We're in a hurry. You can start doing it the right way tomorrow morning.
And do it that way for the rest of your life.
How, does anybody here put on one shoe and one sock? Here we go. All right. Now. One sock and one shoe. Okay. Right. Don't want to put the shoe sock over the shoe. All right. Now, is there a right way and a wrong way? Obviously not. Obviously not. But sometimes we make big deals out of habits, don't we? That there is a right way and a wrong. I as I've shared with you previously, you can brush your teeth. And I hope you brushed them today. But you can brush them, or you can really brush them. You can go through the motions of it, or you can really try to clean your teeth. And I tell you something, as I've told you before, when I go and get my teeth cleaned, and it's one of the most ridiculous things I do, but I'm paying, you know, it costs $75 now to get your teeth cleaned. And they do it in about 30 minutes. That's pretty good money. That's $150 an hour. Ooh, no wonder Southern's got cranking out so many dental hygienists. But before I go and get my teeth, it's crazy. It's kind of like if I went to get my car detailed or get my car cleaned up and paid somebody to do it, and I went and washed it and cleaned it as well as I possibly could before I paid them good money to clean my car up. That's what I do to the dentist. Yeah, I clean those teeth better than I've ever cleaned them in my life because I don't like her digging with that little metal thing. Do you guys? Oh, I don't like that. I don't like that. Well, we have talked about habits. A habit is the choice all of us deliberately make at some point and then stop thinking about but continue doing often every day. Some of us, two socks, two shoes. Some of us, one sock, one shoe, one sock, one shoe. Until that habit makes us. It makes us. We first make a habit, and then the habit makes us. And as we have talked about, repeat it often enough, and it leads to something. And where we're leading to today is the idea of a thought. Because I've shared this with you, I think, a couple of times in our last previous messages. But it all begins with a thought. You sow a thought. Do we have that? We don't have that. Oh. You sow a thought, you reap a deed. You sow a deed, you reap a habit. You sow a habit, you reap a character. You sow a character, you reap a destiny. It all begins with a thought. With a thought. Our habits begin with our thought life until they become automatic, until, as we've talked about, you don't think about it anymore. I don't have to think about talking to you right now. There was a time in my life when I was a little bitty boy when I first started learning how to talk and learning how to speak and learning how to enunciate and learning how to put words together. And then I reached a point kind of like with walking where I don't crawl no more, I walk. I don't think about talking anymore. I talk, and I tell you what, I've gotten a lot of trouble in my life sometimes when I didn't think before I spoke, all right? Now, I want to share with you some food for thought, a few points this morning. First one I want to mention is spiritual stability is a result of how you think. It's a result of how you think. Solomon put it well, of course, as God's word, giving us, you know, Solomon is always the wisest man in the room. And he said, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. You and me are products of our thoughts. Whatever you think, whatever is in your mind, that's what you are. Right now, for instance, I'm speaking to you. You're hearing my thoughts out loud. I'm speaking my thoughts. All right? Ralph Waldo Emerson said this about thoughts. He said, a man is what he thinks about all day long. It's a wonder some teenage boys don't turn into girls, right? Now, I read somewhere that the average person has 10,000 thoughts a day. Can you imagine? 10,000 thoughts a day. If you lived, and some of you here have, to be 75 years old, that means you've had 26 million different thoughts. And you've had some 2,000 thoughts before you came here to church this morning. Some of them involving two socks, sock and shoe, shoe and sock. Now, we'll have another 8,000 before we go to bed tonight. Some of us will run into, like we all do, a paralysis of analysis. Some of you may go out to eat today. You know, one of the things that I don't like that restaurants have done anymore, they give me too many choices. We keep adding to our choices. Everything is a Baskin-Robbins world now. It's chocolate and vanilla is not good enough. We've got to have 64 flavors. Well, 64 is not good enough. We got to have hundreds of different choices, all of these thoughts. Now, let me lay something on you. Imagine if somebody offered you $10,000 to spend every day of your life, but you had to spend it all before the day was over. Wouldn't you be very careful and thoughtful about how you spent that money? You had to spend it. But wouldn't you think about, now, how do I want to spend this? I don't want to be foolish. Now, God has given us 10,000 thoughts a day. Are we being foolish with our thinking? I guarantee you, every day, whether it's a newspaper you look at or an internet page that you look at, you're seeing people make foolish, life-changing choices because of their thoughts. Their thoughts went the wrong direction. They took the wrong pathway. And some of them will reap a destiny. And it all began with a thought. See, as I believe the Word of God is teaching us, our thought life is at the core of all that we do. It's at the core of our physical life, our emotional life. It's at the core of our spiritual life. In fact, as I want to point out, a second thought I want to share with you today, a second main point I want to share is we must learn to guard our minds. We've got to guard them. You know, somebody robs a bank. They just don't drive by the bank one day and say, you know, I think I'll just rob that today. I'm just going to go in there and I've got a gun with me. The majority of people do what? They think it through. They think about it. They dwell on it. They're presented with the opportunity. The thought crosses their mind, and then eventually they act upon it. Here in the Word of God, in Proverbs 4 and verse 23, the Bible says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Marcus Aurelius, we can bring that next quote up. Said this, such as your habitual thoughts, such will be the character of your mind, for the soul is dyed, literally like a dyeing process, not to dye, but to dye a cloth, is dyed by your thoughts. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. It takes over your whole being, your thoughts, between your ears. You voted with your feet today to come to church. But it was your mind that triggered your feet, that triggered your heart. You made that decision. We're in a battle for our mind. And as the late Zig Ziglar once said, we ain't got time for no stinking thinking. Because the devil wants your mind. Every time we make a bad choice, it becomes harder to make a good choice. And every time we make a good choice, it makes it harder to make a bad choice. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. It all begins with the thought. So guess where Satan has these big guns aimed at? At the mind. At the mind. And I'm here to tell you this morning, if you're an unbeliever, you ain't got a chance. You ain't got a shot of winning this battle, of winning this war. Because in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, the Bible says, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not." I want to tell you something. Every one of us who are Christians here today share one thing in common. Not only our faith right now in Jesus Christ, but we share in common the fact we were once lost. And if we were once lost, then we once were blinded in our minds. Think about it. Remember when you were lost? Now, you might have been a young child when you got saved. But think about when you were lost and the decision-making processes. How God never entered into the equation. You talk about it seems like an unthinkable mountain we're trying to scale when we're trying to win somebody to Christ. Because their minds are blinded. You know, as Mr. Newton wrote so famously in that song, "I once was blind, but now I see." Why was I blind? Because the devil had my mind blinded. That's why I couldn't see. You know, as an unbeliever, really, trying to do battle with Satan is like, as an unbeliever, is like charging hell with a water pistol. We don't have a chance. We can't win that war. Now, just because we're believers doesn't mean the battle's over. It only means the battle has just begun. It only means that he's drawn a bullseye on us. And he's going to come at our minds. At our minds. Let me turn this morning to a passage of Scripture you might not ever hear used, unfortunately. Because it's in an obscure place. It's not a verse, and it's in Isaiah, but it's not a common verse we pull out of Isaiah. But over in Isaiah 59 and verse 5, actually God is providing for us some ways the devil works. And I love the way he illustrates it. He compares the way the devil works with our mind and doing battle with our mind is the devil comes along and he plants snake eggs in our mind. Notice, they hatch viper's eggs and weave the spider's web, a second way he describes the way the devil works. He who eats their eggs dies, and from that which is crushed, a viper breaks out. Now, here are these snake eggs. Here are these evil thoughts. And the devil plants them in our mind. You know, we're a creature of habit, and one of the things that we habitually do, and we, in case you haven't noticed, we live in a world that bombards us with images, pictures. I mean, I'm going to tell you something. If you have one of those TVs planted in front of you part of the time, or a screen of any sorts, whether it's a cell phone screen or whether it's an internet computer screen, you're bombarded with images. Many of them are spider eggs. Some people will actually try to tell you that what we see doesn't affect us. Well, if that's true, why do they spend millions of dollars on the Super Bowl coming up to advertise to you? Yes, those images affect you. They affect your buying habits. They affect what you do. They affect you habitually. Now think about all the images that come across our mind. Images running across our mind. The things that we see that we shouldn't see. The places we go where we shouldn't go. The things that we say that we shouldn't say. The things that we listen to that we shouldn't listen to. And that thought comes there. And we let it linger. And see, remember, the thought is the father of the deed. And if we don't do something with that thought, something's going to happen. We're going to eventually act upon that thought. And those snake eggs are like these ugly images on our mind. Let me give you a classic example from mythology. Of course, you know mythology is mythology. It's a myth. But Medusa was a woman who famously in Greek mythology was vain about her hair. We don't have any women today who are vain about their hair, do we? No. No, that's an impossibility, right? Well, remember her, she was vain about her beauty. She was vain about her hair. And she was so proud of it. And so what happened to her? Ooh. Her hair turned into snakes. I wouldn't have too many on my head if mine turned into snakes. But she, can you imagine having a snake's nest up on top of your head biting you for those thoughts? Well, that's mythology, obviously. But Isaiah 59 and verse 5 is not. It's the word of God. And here we have the concept in God's word of the devil planting those snake eggs in your mind. In your mind. And so you're going around with those thoughts in your mind. And God is actually, through Isaiah the prophet, revealing Israel what they do in the dark. You know, you develop pictures in a dark room. You know, your mind can become a dark room. I find it amazing when I think of how most of us carry around a cell phone. And about every cell phone now allows you to do what? Take a picture. I find it amazing how a picture is made. You click a button with this picture, you aim it at someone, and you take a picture, and that person is frozen in that picture. Now, you can do something. In this day and age, you can, if the picture gets messed up with one, the old days, man, you had the bad pictures and the good ones all in one. But now, you take a picture of someone, you don't like it, you just take it again, right over that, you don't have to keep it. But that image is burned, okay? Now, think about this. We're living in a day and age in which people are exposed more and more and more in their mind to these things like pornography. You know, some of the people who are in the computer know about this stuff a thousand. They've forgotten more than I'll ever learn about computers. But I've had my son and Aaron and Clint and different ones tell me about some of the different ways. You know that they have now technology that if you were in your say you were working in a particular office and you were in there and you were looking at pornography on the internet, that you can put up a false guise to show you're actually doing your, like say your account, and you're doing your account information. You can cover up what you're doing so you can keep feeding your mind and those images on the mind. And Katie bar the door now on pornography. God help us if you realize how easy it is for your children to access that stuff. How we give them phones for Christmas that they can get in there. And as I've shared with you before, we give them apps like Snapchat that allows them to take an image and send it, and it's destroyed in literally less than a minute. And they've sent an image. And we've read horror stories of how some of those images of children actually were taking pictures of themselves unclothed and sent them to boyfriends, girlfriends, whatever the case may be. And here is that image. And it's out there, and it's going to be out there forever. Snake eggs. Snake eggs. And then we see people who are obsessed. They become obsessed with something they're thinking about. And it's like, I have known people. I have actually talked to people before. And they, Here's their problem. They keep playing and replaying something that was done to them. And I want to tell you what was done to them was a horrible thing. They might have been abused as a child. They might have been sexually abused as a child. They might have had one of a thousand different things happen to them. And they just can't get past that tape. They can't get past that image. They can't get past that thought that just keeps coming up and coming up and coming up. And they don't know how to erase it. They don't know what to do with it. They don't know how to get rid of it. They become a victim because that's all they can think about. And you know, if a person thinks about something long enough, they'll come to the point where they can't think about anything else. If you dwell on your problems, before long your problems will overwhelm you. In fact, the burning of an image in the mind to me is like a tattoo burned in the skin. It's just there. And it's like you can't get past it. And I think many of you know what I'm talking about. It's something that happened to you in your life. And you'll think, well, I don't think about that no more. And then lo and behold, you think about it. It doesn't always have to be something bad. It can be something good. I'm amazed sometimes I'll think about something and I'll think about my father. I'll have a good thought. Not every image burned is bad. But our thought life. In fact, that's what I believe one of the things that Isaiah is talking about here, the Word of God is teaching, about those snake eggs. He who eats their eggs dies. They consume you. You eat them. That image is burned. It's destroyed people. You know, we've talked about all sin. All sin is addictive. All sin is habit forming. And we make that habit, and then that habit makes us. And as we've talked about, for as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. What do we have hidden away? What do we have hidden away in our mind, in our thought life? You know, as I want to point out, as verse says, you're not what you think you are, but what you think you are. What do you think? Yeah, I remember one time, I was working the graveyard shift. And so that meant that I had to sleep during the day. And I was laying on the couch this particular day, sleep, alone in the house. And I woke up because I felt something on top of my ear. And I went to bat that thing away like that, and it was a spider. And I guess when I slapped at that spider away from my ear, I don't think about it. It bit me. I could feel immediately the poison go from where it bit me on my ear right down my neck. I could feel it like you had taken something and poured it down my ear. Kind of like the old days, you know, how they used to try to cure a stopped up ear, you know. Put some of that plumbing medicine in there, right? Unplug it there. I could feel that immediately. And I think about, you know, David, for instance. You remember what was key thing in David's downfall? He saw Bathsheba bathing there one night. Again, I love the way the scripture educates us this. He was unguarded. That was the last thing he thought he was going to see that night. He didn't go looking for it like a germ. It came looking for him. All right? Here he is in an unguarded moment. He sees her. And what happens? There is that thought. It's planted. And then what? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. He became obsessed with that. He knew she was married. He knew her husband. He knew her situation, but he had to have her. And he became obsessed with that. And that spider egg bit him. That snake egg bit him. And that spider web trapped him. And lo and behold, he threw away his reputation. He threw away his family situation. And he really never completely, fully recovered from that decision. He filled his mind with it. And it began to take over him. See, God knows what we think about. In fact, In 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 9, the Bible says, "For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intents of the thoughts." What's your motivation? What's your intent? What is feeding your imagination? He knows all of those things. And I want to tell you something. Once you get that image planted there and begin to use your imagination on that image, it can be a dangerous thing. Because God said clear back in the book of Genesis, the imagination of a man's heart is evil from his youth. From his youth. Your thought life, you know, there's an old expression, an idle mind is the devil's workshop. If that image is not filtered out, it can destroy you. But here's the third point I want to share with you this morning, and where I want to spend the rest of my time today is what the Word of God says we can do with those snake eggs. We can filter our mind through the Word of God. We can filter out those negative thoughts. In fact, there's a verse over in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, boy, that's a wonderful hope for me. I get caught in habits just like you all do. And I can take this word and I can reprogram my mind. I can think God's thoughts after Him. You know, we shared with you last week or a few weeks ago, we have the mind of Christ here, the Bible tells us. I can think with the Lord Jesus' mind. I can filter out my thought life. My habits don't have to be my destiny. My habits can be changed. They can be replaced. Now, it ain't going to happen without a fight. I mean, I've got to be deliberate about it. But I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. It's a process. You know, I spoke a few times in this message about the computer field. When the computer pioneers first discovered something about programming computers, they discovered what you put in is what you get out. That is, you put in good data, you'll get good data that will come out. You put in bad data, that's what you'll get that comes out. In fact, they came up back then and in that time with a term, G-I-G-O. Not the G-I Joe that kids had as a kid, but G-I-G-O, garbage in, garbage out. Now, that's what our mind can be. Our mind, our two ears can be garbage pails, all right? We open them up. I heard about a Sunday school teacher trying to teach her class a lesson. She took a full jar of water. She put a lid on that water real loosely, all right? And tipped it, and water began to drip out. She asked the class, "Why did this happen?" Well, some said, "Well, because the lid wasn't tightened on tight enough." Others said, "Well, because of the tilt of the jar, because of the pull of gravity." And the teacher said, "Well, the water came out because that's what was in the jar." All right? What, as I've said before, what's down in the well will come up in the bucket. What you say is what you have here. You hear some people and they talk and every other word is a dirty, impure word. Why is that? Because of what's up here. What they have fed themselves on. What they have allowed their mind to be exposed to. If we put sewer water in, sewer water is going to come out. That's why you have to be very, very careful about what you allow to come in. And therefore, it's the pathway to changing your mind. Paul, in fact, tells us we need to take every thought captive. Casting down, in 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself above the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, I want to show you how you do that. I want to give you 8 steps to mental health, okay? Because there's a verse over in Philippians that tells us how to take those thoughts captive. And here it is. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise. And here's the phrase I want you to zero in before we break these down. He says, think on these things. Now that tells me something real important to begin with. People will say, well, you got no control over your thought life. Well, yes, you do. You have control of your thought life. You most certainly do. In fact, this is a command. And it's in the present tense when he says, think on these things. That is, continually do this. This is a command from God. Think on these things. And what he gives us here is the filter. The filter we need to use to filter out. So as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So that what we think about is right. And I want you to see and break, and I want to break these down real quickly. First of all, the first one he mentions, is it true? Whatsoever things are true. You know, I've seen people before, they go to court. And I always tell them this, if you got the truth on your side, don't worry about it. Now, the court might not rule in your behalf, but if what you're saying is the truth, when my kids were growing up, I would if there was some issue they were going through and they came to me about it, I would defend them to the nth degree if they were being truthful and honest with me. If I found out they weren't, guess what? I'm going to be their worst enemy. Is it true? Sometimes we get hung up on the fact people are saying bad things about us, you know. Hey, man, I want to tell you something. As a Christian, if some ain't saying bad things about you, you ain't doing anything for Christ. But here's the bottom line. Don't let it bring you down. Is it true? I mean, if it's true, do something about it. If it's not true, don't dwell on it. Don't think about it. Don't worry about it. Find the truth in every situation. And think about that. Hey, the whole world may be against me, but God is for me because I'm standing on the truth. I'm going to tell you what, and I'm going to talk about it tonight in the message, They Eat Their Own. Yeah, it's about cannibalism, but it's about another kind of cannibalism. How we are destroying life in this country through abortion. And God help us. We have more concern about terrorist prisoners than we do about destroying an unborn innocent child in the womb. I think about our precious granddaughters that we have, and we got a new one this past year. Praise the Lord for that. And I can't imagine it's got to be a mind with snake eggs that would snuff out that life. It's unthinkable to me. But yet, we have our political leaders who stand up and say, oh, we've got the most important problem we face is global warming. The most important problem we faced happened on January 22nd in 1973 when we made abortion the law of the land. That's the most important decision that we need to combat against. But again, is it true? Second thing, is it honest? Whatsoever things are honest. You know, that word there means, in essence, honorable. I think about this word here and I think about, gang, do you worry about things? Sometimes we almost brag about, well, I stayed up all night last night worrying about, you know, that's pagan, according to Jesus. Pagans do that. You can't have faith and worry at the same time, because once you start worrying, you've lost your faith. See, you're not using your faith in Him. You're letting your worries become bigger than God, and your worries aren't bigger than God. So do you worry? And like they say, some 90% of the things that we worry about never happen anyway, so we're wasting our time. Find the honorable thing and think about that. Is it third, is it just? whatsoever things are just. That is, does it meet God's standards? Is it right in God's eyes? If it is, think about that. Think about that. See, the Word of God helps us to think straight. You know, I go back to that issue. Here's a lady who's considering having an abortion. Oh, if she'll open this Word and read a chapter like Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19, which says, "To what I've set before thee life and death, choose life," he says. Lay this measuring stick, lay this ruler right next to your decisions. It will help you. It will make you think straight. You won't be all over. You know, you talk with some people and they'll believe one thing one day and they'll believe something completely different the next day. They're all over the place with their thinking. And I want to tell you what, all of us will be that way if we don't use this as our measuring rod. It helps us to think straight, to think straight. Do you think straight? Well, there's a fourth thing I want to point out. Is it pure? Is it pure? You know, somebody as well said, if your mind's in the gutter, you put it there. He's talking about our thought life here. He's talking about, do you think? How are you thinking? I remember one particular person who was real close to me in my life. And he shared with me how his wife came home one day. His wife, of several years, they had a child together. And his wife came home, you know, and she said, "I go to work and there's this guy there at work and I find myself thinking about him all day long." And she left her husband for that man. That was where her thoughts were fixed, on something impure, on something wrong. And she, because of those thoughts, she broke up a home because of her thought life. It wasn't pure. Is it pure? If think about it. We don't do this enough. Could you think about it knowing that Jesus is sitting right next to you with what you're thinking? Would he say, "Oh, keep thinking that"? Kind of like I talked about worry a few minutes ago. Has anybody ever said to you, "I tell you what I do about your problem. I go home and worry about it as much as I could tonight. That always helps me." Right? It's kind of like this. "I tell you what I would do if that. I tell you what I do if that impure thought. I just dwell on it all the time. Dwell on it all the time." There's a fifth thing he says. Is it lovely? Whatsoever things are lovely. You know, does it move you towards love? One of the most loveliest thoughts in the Bible is this one. Jesus said it from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." You know, a lot of time that needs to be what we have to say in certain situations. Sometimes we have to do that in our marriages. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Sometimes we have to do that with our friends. They just don't understand what they're doing. They're just not thinking right. Sixth thing, is it admirable? Is it admirable? Whatsoever things are of a good report. In other words, does it sound good? I want to tell you something about church. If church, where you go to church, if it doesn't build you up, that church is failing you. We ought to come together to build one another up. We get enough tearing down out in the world. And I want to tell you something. Nothing builds me up. I don't know about you, but nothing builds me up like the Word of God. I mean, just as people talk about a poor self-image or people get suicidal thoughts. Well, hey, brother, sister, friend, think about this. Jesus loved you so much He left heaven to come and die for you. That makes your self-worth explode, I hope, in your mind. If you really dwell on that thought. Seventh thing, before I run out of time. Is it virtuous? If there be any virtue. That is, virtue being your character. You know, your character, that's the essence of who you are. We talked about that last week. Your character. Jesus was a man of good character because he was full of the Holy Spirit. As I want to point out, is what you're thinking about, is it morally excellent? I mean, Is it make you a better person? And then finally, eighth and not, and last but not least, is it praiseworthy? And if there be any praise, think on these things. As one translation puts it, praiseworthy. That is it something God would approve of? Find that. So what I'm saying is, if there's no truth, if there's no honor, if it's not right, if it's not pure, if it's not lovely, if it's not a virtue, if it's not something that leads to praise, don't think about it. Refuse to hear it. God changes us, as he's telling us in this verse, through our thought life. And the Bible says, as I shared earlier, we can set our mind on whatever direction we want to send it. Notice, here's another one of the verses that reminds us of that. Set your mind. That means you can do it. It's up to you. This is one of those if verses. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. You know, you think about it. We're all here just a short time, aren't we? A short time. It's amazing with each passing year how time evaporates and goes by so quickly. And the Bible tells us that a spirit-controlled mind is a mind that is controlled. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, I want to tell you something. I want to share with you how important your thought life is. You'll go to heaven or hell based on your thought life. Because what you believe when it's all said and done is what either saves you or condemns you. You know, someone I thought wisely gave this definition. There are two ways to be deceived. One is to believe what isn't true, and the other is to refuse to believe what is true. And you know, that's right where the devil has got so many people. Because I want to take you back to this final verse this morning. And I just quoted part of it because I wanted to come back to it. In whom, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, in whom the God of this world, notice little g, it's talking about the devil. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. All right? What's he trying to blind people's minds from? Notice. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You know, we think about it. We sing about it. I saw the light. I saw the light. I once was blind, but now I see. There's Mr. Newton's, again, another verse to inspire those thoughts. The light. Have you ever been out driving someday, and it was a cloudy day, but there was a break in the clouds, and there was like a shaft of light that came through. You know, that's what he's kind of like going into a, think about our mind going into a dark cave with just a flashlight. But I want to tell you what, as the Bible teaches, where there's light, there is no darkness. And remember what God, the Bible says about God, in him is no darkness at all. You know, pray. Do you remember that day when you saw the light? Do you remember that day when the light penetrated into your darkened mind? You know, the Bible calls it a darkened mind. And you saw the light. You saw Jesus for what he was. You saw him dying. He didn't just die on the cross. He died for you. You saw that. Not only are all people sinners, but you're one of them. It clicked. You connected the dots. You've seen. Do you remember that moment? Oh, if you remember it, don't you want other people to have it too? Don't you want other people to have that? See, we've got to pray for them. Just like people prayed for us. You know, I've shared it a million times before. I got saved where I worked, and I just happened, lo and behold, what a coincidence, got in with a group of Christians who actually opened their Bibles on lunch hour. What a coincidence. And they would say, hey, Ed, we're praying for you. And I thought, go ahead. Didn't mean anything to me. Oh, but boy, it does now. And I think right now, why don't we come and pray? You know, we're not going to win this war closing our eyes to it. We're not gonna be able to defeat the enemy if we just lay down our arms. We'll become prisoners of war. See, God is telling you what He's doing, what He's up to. We know His schemes. He's blinding the minds of those who will not believe. Do you know somebody right now who won't believe? Is it your husband? Is it your daughter? Is it your son? Or better yet, do you know somebody who says they're a believer, but you know they're not? By their fruits you shall know them. Isn't it time we started praying for lights to come and to open their eyes? You know, that's where it all starts. Won't you come today and do that? Will you stand with us as we pray and give God these last few minutes, give Him the final word, and then if you'll stay with us, we'll have this Lord's Supper together, all right? Let's pray. God, as we have these remaining moments and follow Your command in Scripture of inviting people to come publicly, there's something about doing it publicly, as You shared in that precious word, that if we'll deny You before men, You'll deny us before Your Father. If we'll confess You before men, You'll confess us before the Father. This is our time of confession. Will we confess or will we deny? Will we take serious these few minutes that we've got? God, a life could be changed. Someone could move from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light by the decision that they make, the most important decision of their life. God, help them to make that. We pray that the Holy Spirit will shine that light into all of our minds and move us. So, Lord, we vote with our feet. What's at stake? Eternal destinies are at stake. Eternal souls are at stake. What are we doing about it? Oh, Lord, I'm reminded of that great poem. Only one life will soon pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. What can we do for You right now? What would You have us to do? What thought are You placing in our mind? Not what the pastor's placing there, but what is Your Word telling us to do? God, move us today. And as always, if there's someone here within the sound of my voice who needs Jesus, who needs to receive Him as Lord and Savior, who right now, wherever they are, would join with me and say, Jesus, my eyes are open. My mind is no longer blinded. I see Your light. I want to respond to that good news today. I want to receive You, Lord, as my Lord and Savior. Lord, come into my life right now. I turn from my sin. I turn from the darkness. I turn to Your marvelous, glorious light. I receive what Your Word says about me, that I'm a lost sinner, and I know what sin is. And I receive You as my Lord and Savior. Come to live within me right here, right now. I want to make this private decision public, Lord, so I will come out, because as Your Word says, whosoever believes in Him will not be ashamed. I want to make it public, and I want to follow through and be scripturally baptized, because I believe in You. Thank You, Jesus. In Your name I pray. Amen and amen. Today, right here, right now, we allow the Spirit of God to lead you today, move you as we have this opportunity. And as always, we want to pray with you if you want us to pray with you. Whatever your need is, if you have questions you want answered, just move out as we sing today.